This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, April 19th, 2024. I'm Mark Belanger. In the report this week, a special program on publicly owned banks that are really pro-public and singing.
The banks are made of marble with a guard and every door.
This is Radio Labour.
Trade unions, labour unions, and local authorities. You know, need to get a better sense of the public bank.
That is Thomas Marwa, the director of the Public Banking Project at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Public banks are something that I think have been largely overlooked by trade unions and union activists, both in terms of public banks impacting jobs and public services and infrastructure, but also in terms of the unionization of these quite powerful and large and prolific institutions. And I say prolific institutions because public banks are banks that are worldwide. There are more than 900 of them in existence presently, with over $49 trillion in assets. That's 10% greater than the GDPs of the U.S., Germany, and China combined. So, you know, these are banks that are just like any other bank, like HSBC or the Citibank and so on, but they're publicly owned. They are owned by a government or a municipal authority or another public entity. They will have a mandate often to serve a public good, but not necessarily. Or they might be, in fact, founded and governed by public law. But not all banks and public banks are necessarily inherently pro-public or good. So when we're talking about a pro-public public bank, for me, it's often about an institution, a public bank that lifts up its community, that supports through concessional loans or better terms or technical support, public services. In fact, it provides supportive finance and has mechanisms for democratic accountability within the community.
So what do you say to banks that exist today that say they are public because the shareholders own them?
I mean, you mean public in terms of publicly owned on the stock market?
Yeah.
Well, those are effectively private banks because they're private individuals or corporations or investment funds that own them. So they're something quite different. Public bank is really about ownership from a public authority, specifically, or through other public entities, but not through individual ownership through the stock market, because those are often bound fiduciary duty to maximize profit for its shareholders. A public bank, some of them can, you know, be profit oriented, but often they will have no profit mandate at all, but they will have clear policy mandate.
Can you give us some examples of pro-public banks supporting public services or public service workers at local development?
Sure. You know, part of this, I think, is that these banks really exist around the world, and we need to learn a bit more about them. But I can point to quite a number of examples that I've dug into and looked at a little bit. A few that stand out for me, we recently did some research on public banks and public water in Europe. And there's a bank called the Dutch Water Bank, which was created in late 1950s to support water infrastructure. It's evolved, and now it has an explicit mandate that says it calls itself a bank by and for the public sector in the Netherlands. And it does a lot to support water, but also clean energy and social housing and so on. You can also look at institutions in the Global South. In this paper I did for the Public Citizens International, I talk about the Finditer Bank, which is a development bank, which is a bank that lends more to municipalities or to other large organizations. And that bank specializes in supporting local authorities and local infrastructure, and was relatively recently created in late 1980. You know, and then we can jump back, if you will, to Europe, the Council of Europe Development Bank, which is a multilateral bank owned by different member countries of Europe, but has an explicitly social mandate. So it has, you know, no profit mandate at all. And its lending is geared towards supporting health, municipal infrastructure, water, but also social infrastructure. So supporting small, medium-sized organizations, often NGOs, and these kinds of organizations. And then we could talk about examples from Morocco to Turkey to Japan. They really are all around the world. We just need to, in a sense, pay a little more attention to these and try to support and draw out those more pro-public, pro-community functions already publicly owned banks have and are doing to support and to sort of magnify them, to support local workers and jobs.
Do you have any examples from Canada or the United States, or is the environment in these countries not conducive to public banks, pro-public banks?
Those are actually two very different examples. So in Canada, I'm Canadian, I'm from Western Canada, from Alberta. There is actually a strong legacy of public banks in Canada that if you add them all up, there's almost a trillion Canadian dollars held within public financial institutions. So they're actually massive in Canada. My province, Alberta, we have the Alberta Treasury Branch, which is a commercial public bank, one that takes deposits, gives loans, mortgages, and it's been around since the 1930s. But more recently, Canada created a development bank, an infrastructure bank called the Canada Infrastructure Bank. And this is a funny entity because its mandate is actually to use public money to leverage or maximize private investors, which is a terrible mandate, which is the exact, you know, in a sense, the opposite of what the Dutch Water Bank does, which was a bank by and for the public sector. The Canada Infrastructure Bank says, let's use public money to support private investment. So that's what it was created to do. But fortunately, it failed at that, and it's doing much better in mobilizing public funds. So looking at public-public collaboration, where the Canada Infrastructure Bank is lending directly to municipalities across Canada to support electric buses, support municipal infrastructure, and recently did a really interesting loan. We have this bank called the First Nations Bank of Canada, which is a bank owned by Indigenous communities, and the Canada Infrastructure Bank gave it a $100 billion loan to support infrastructure in Indigenous communities. So it's actually doing much better in Canada and supporting the public sector than its mandate originally had hoped it would, which is good. And I think that's actually a result from a lot of trade union pressure from Canadian Union public employees in Canada that has really held that bank to account. In the U.S., there's not that same kind of legacy. There's the Bank of North Dakota, goes back to about 1919. It's an interesting institution, relatively small, but there's not much else presently going on in the United States, although they've begun to create a whole series of public-like or quasi-public green banks. And recently, the government announced a $5 billion green loan that's going to go to what's called the Coalition for Green Capital. And it looks like they'll create a new public-like green bank for green infrastructure in the future. That was just a couple of weeks ago. Things are very new, you know, and we'll see what happens with that institution.
What are some recommendations for how labor unions and local authorities can support pro-public banks?
First and foremost, you know, I think trade unions and labor unions and local authorities, you know, need to get a better sense of the public banks and get organized around that. And why I say that is because they need to demand a seat at the table. Trade unions and local authorities should be in conversation with these often very powerful public financial institutions and helping to set the priorities of investment, the conditions of investment, but also holding these institutions to account. You know, there is really nothing inherently better about a public bank. They're only as good as society makes them to be. And they can go very, very wrong if they're not held to account. You know, for trade unions and local authorities, they should be involved. And then they can, you know, really help to democratize these institutions at the local level. But I would also emphasize that there is a need for trade unions at a more collective and multilateral level to be involved in the multilateral negotiations right now around green and just transition. Because a lot of money is going to go into climate into climate resilient infrastructure, which is going to have huge implications for cities and for essential infrastructure. So, you know, get involved with things like Public Service International, TUED, or Trade Unions for Energy Democracy. These large organizations are quite involved and are eager to shape the future of just transitions. So instead of the World Bank agenda of privatizing public entities or pushing public-private partnerships that are only ever in the interest of private investors, that we begin to define a new, innovative, ambitious agenda around public-public collaboration. We're coordinating through public banks at the multilateral level to the national development level, and that those national public banks are then providing supportive finance and technical support to public services within communities in a way that enables them to be sustainable, climate-friendly, but also retain local jobs and expertise and knowledge and unionize.
Now here's the American folk singer Leo Kottke singing a song from 1950, The Banks Are Made of Marble.
I travel around this country from shore to shining shore. Made me wonder the things I heard and saw. I saw the farmer working, plowing side and low. I heard the auction hammer knocking. The banks are made of marble, with a guard at every door, and the vaults are stuffed with silver that the farmer's ready for. I've seen the weary miner scrubbing coal is bad. I've heard it, children crying, no coal to heat the shack. But the banks are made of marble, with a guard at every door, and the vaults are stuffed with silver.
That's it. Labor news you can use. You can listen to our newscasts and features at radiolabor.net. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.